Chapter 5. Verdant Hill. Jin, contrary to Mei Ling's expectations, once again did not leave first thing in the morning to run ahead to Verdant Hill. He could have just left them in the dust. Instead, he helped stack crates of mushrooms with her little brother clinging to his back like a monkey. Mei Hua's father had even given him an ox to borrow for their trip to the town so that he wouldn't have to pull his own cart. Thanks to his help, the preparations were sped up considerably, and they were on the road, a caravan bound for Verdant Hill.
So, what did happen last night, Mei Mei?
A boy with an unfortunate resemblance to a monkey asked as they walked.
A wolf, Goshen, she replied bluntly.
Of course, nobody believed her. Even her father was giving her pointed looks and smirking whenever he caught her looking at Jin. He hadn't believed that they had just found and chased off a wolf. He thought they'd snuck off to do other things, like kissing in the moonlight or something equally ridiculous. It didn't help that Jin had just completely ignored her when she told him her proper name and just continued to call her Mei Mei.
Ah, our darling young mistress has finally discovered the joys of womanhood,
another boy gasped with exaggerated pride. Yu Zhen, Goshen's elder brother, wiped an imaginary tear from the corner of his fox-like eyes. His ponytail bounced with every step.
After flaying every man she's ever met, she's finally found the one that can tame her cold heart.
She glared viciously at both of them. Goshen held up his hands in defeat, fleeing to the front of the caravan, while Yun Zhen just kept laughing at her. The ass. The Song brothers were nearly family, but family only in the annoying little brother way, the both of them. And over the years, she had spent entirely too much time patching them up after their boneheaded schemes.
What's your drinks?
She told him pleasantly, flashing him a smile that promised painful retribution.
Which one should she go with? The laxative or just the bitter root?
Yun Zhen smirked until his eyes took on a more serious cast.
Do you want us to take care of him?
He asked, eyeing Jin, who probably outmasked him twice over, in addition to being a cultivator. Yun Zhen had never even used his sword outside of training with it. That was a fight that he certainly wouldn't win.
It's fine,
she grumbled, knowing that saying that just made her look more guilty. Yun Zhen shrugged and sped up, following his younger but taller brother.
You could have helped me,
she said blandly to Mei Hua, who throughout the entire exchange had stayed silent, focused on her sewing. Her friend was as prim and proper as always, looking fresh out of some sort of painting, not a single hair out of place. Mei Hua just smiled a little knowing smile that said she didn't believe a word of her denials, and said nothing.
I like him,
her little brother opined. Of course her little brother liked him. He'd played in the mud and caught frogs with them. As far as Xian was concerned, he was family already. She snorted and buried her face back into the medical scroll she'd been reading. As if any man would want to do that with bony and freckly Mei Ling. She saw, out of the corner of her eye, as a wagon began to tip when its rear wheel got stuck in a hole. Her eyes widened and she opened her mouth to shout a warning to Goshen, but she never needed to. Casually, Jin shifted his position from where he was talking to Mei Hua's father over to the loaded wagon, and with one hand lifted the back end out of the hazard without breaking his stride. He'd made it look like it weighed nothing at all. He winked when he caught her looking. She scowled and looked away, hints of red blossoming on her cheeks.
Bastard.
For 2 days had the Great Master been gone, and for 2 days had Bidi kept his Great Master's coop safe. None had so far dared to challenge him, and no more of Basi Bushi's ilk slunk around in the shadows. He held a twig in his beak that had been split many times to form bristles and used it to sweep away the dirt that threatened to invade where it wasn't wanted. Soon, he would be able to use his wings for this, but not yet. His Great Master's medicines were most potent, turning what should have been a life-ending injury into a mere inconvenience. Loath as he was to have consumed such rare reagents, his Great Master's beneficence was impossible to refuse. He stalked among his master's crops and tried to empower them as his Great Master did. His efforts were laughable compared to his lord's. That only revealed the truly vast gulf between them. On the first day, merely attempting to infuse the herbs with his chi had sent him to the ground, gasping and dizzy from exertion, with barely enough strength to eat the lesser beasts that came to try and eat them. His master could work the entirety of the great Fahram without effort. Truly, his great master's power was beyond his ability to comprehend. He stalked back to his own pavilion in the place with all the females. They were disappointing to him in some ways. They held not the same spark as he, despite being in the great master's presence and occasionally consuming some bit of heavenly herb. He wondered why, yet could not come up with a satisfactory answer. It was something to meditate upon, certainly. He shook himself and attended once more to great Fahram. Verdant Hill crested the horizon. It was a town of about 2,000 people on top of a hill. Unlike Maymay's little village of about 50, Verdant Hill had some impressive walls and a palace-looking administrative building in its center. The people of our little caravan were surprised that we'd made such great speed. Usually, they arrived late on the second day, but this time we'd gotten into Verdant Hill early in the morning of the second day. The distance itself wasn't too far, but you had to cross an extremely hilly section to actually get there. Though to call them merely hills was a disservice. They were damn near mountains, and the carts had to travel single file on the road. Thinking on it, the geography here was really weird. Impossible landmarks were the norm. Lots of potholes on the road, too. I may have to fix that, if only for my sake. Our party was composed of Maymay, her little brother Xian, and her father, who was also named Xian. They were the village chiefs, and they made medicine. Their village's name, Hongyao-wu, even translated into something like medicine warehouse. The girl who was going to be getting married soon was Yao Meihua. Her dad, Yao Che, was the village blacksmith, a monster of a man who was as tall as I was. The last two with us were the Song brothers, Yunzhen and Gaozhen. They were the sons of the village's best hunter. They were supposed to help unload the mushrooms and other goods. It was nice to talk to people again. Everybody was pretty friendly and seemed interested in what I had been up to. I actually enjoyed the trip. It was a nice walk through the countryside. The guards seemed to know Maymay's father, and so they waved us in without any trouble. I bowed to Hong Xian in thanks for letting me borrow the ox, even though I hadn't actually needed it. It was the thought that counted, though, and I greatly appreciated his generosity. We all agreed to meet up at the inn later. We would be staying a night at least, and maybe another night too. We all departed at the same time after stabling the animals and locking away our carts. Maymay was instructed to bring a bottle of what I assumed was alcohol to Brother Bao by her father, while the rest of the group went off to sell mushrooms at the exchange. Well, first things first. Time to, hopefully, find out what the weird root was. It was still back at the farm, but I had drawn a reasonably good rendition of it. I could feel Maymay's eyes on me as I set off. We were heading in the same direction. "You're heading to the archives too?" I asked her. She looked at me suspiciously for a moment, then nodded. There was a pause in the conversation as we walked. Maymay was looking at me with a considering glare until she spoke.
"What are you looking for at the archives? I may be able to help you find it," she offered.
"Trying to get out of making dumplings for me, Maymay?" I teased. The girl rolled her eyes, but I could tell she was amused. "I take it you're familiar with the archives then?"
"Father used to be an imperial clerk before he had to go back to the village and take grandfather's place when he passed. I spent a lot of time in the archives when the Song brothers didn't need tending," she replied. And once more she had her watching cat look on her face, gauging my reaction.
"Great," I replied, and for some reason she looked shocked at my statement. "I don't know what exactly I'm looking for, but I sketched it down. A root of some kind. I wanted to know what it is." I took out the picture and the notes I had made and handed it over to Maymay. She was still looking a bit confused as she accepted my drawing as we reached the archives. It wasn't particularly large, but His Imperial Majesty had decreed that every town and city have one. Along with a collection of standardized books, scrolls, and some more local knowledge, it also had all land and tax records, along with everything else an archive should have.
"Well, come on then. I know the first archivist, so we can start with him,"
Maymay muttered, looking at my drawing.
"I'm not supposed to be able to look at the advanced scrolls now that my father isn't part of the imperial clerks anymore, but Uncle Bao lets me anyway."
"Ah, Lady Hong Mei Ling, she with friends in high places," I sang to her, putting on my most courtly voice, and Maymay actually laughed out loud, smiling brightly, before she realized what she was doing, and her smile dimmed. She kept a cute little smirk, though. Score. I wondered if she would have dinner with me. Although dating here worked kind of different, I think. If people dated at all. We ascended the stairs, the guards once more just waving Maymay through. They gave me an odd look, then just shrugged and resumed their watch with bored expressions.
Uncle,
Maymay called, and we were rewarded with a happy gasp from a man behind a desk. Uncle Bao was, well, Bao-shaped. He was a very rotund, balding man who looked jolly with many smile lines on his face.
Mayor, daughter of my brother Xian, it's so good to see you again,
he exclaimed and waddled around his desk so he could embrace Maymay, who, contrary to my expectations, seemed happy with the treatment.
It's good to see you too, uncle. Father sends his regards and prays that you meet him at the usual place.
Bao beamed at her, accepting the alcohol jug she handed him.
I shan't miss it, my little Mayor.
He then turned to me, his eyes suddenly piercing.
And who is this standing before me here?
He demanded of me. I smiled at him and made the proper gesture of courtesy. Thank God for Zhou's memories, otherwise I would have fucked up which hand went where. This one's name is Zhou Jin, I said, using the reversed name I had on my documents. I greet you, First Archivist, and hope that you are in good health.
He's a friend of the family, uncle,
May whispered to him.
Father trusts him.
The piercing quality of his stare suddenly went away, and Bao's smile came back.
Well, for my brother to trust you with his daughter, you must be a man of virtue.
Maymay's face went red, but she didn't say anything.
I'm guessing you want to use the archives, Mayor. You know I can't let you into the advanced scrolls, but I'll be here in the back room if you need me, and I'll be joining your father tonight. Mark my words well.
Bao winked at her, and then waddled away. Maymay picked up a key he put on the desk.
To the archives?
She asked. The guards ignored us again as we walked up and opened the locked door. The room was both big and cramped at the same time, with shelves absolutely stuffed with scrolls lining the walls. The organization threw me for a loop because it was all written in some kind of shorthand that I didn't know. The difference between the stuff open to the public and the things locked away, I guess.
The ones for herbs are over here,
Maymay said, expertly navigating the shelves and rows. With a shrug, I followed her lead to a large section near the back. Over 50 scrolls lay lined up neatly on the shelf.
This is going to take a while, isn't it?
We grabbed the first of the scrolls on herbs and sat down to read.
Jin is strange,
Mei Ling thought as she looked at him from the corner of her eye. Not even strange for a cultivator, but just odd. This was the most pleasant interaction she had with a man not from her village in years. A lot of the men willing to look past her reputation and meet with her grimaced when they found out that she could read the courtly characters or scoffed when they heard about her time in the archives. Useless for a woman to know, they said. Never mind that she was the best at making medicine within 50 li. Never mind that she knew how to cure the shaking fevers, to set broken bones, and to drain a cut to stave off infection. And she knew how to cook and clean and mend, so she knew her womanly duties. She had taken care of her household ever since her mother's passing. But the archives just sealed the deal. Wasting time, people called it. They saw only gloomy Mei Ling, an impudent woman with a tongue like a knife spitting metaphorical, and sometimes literal, poison at their good sons. The itching powders didn't even last that long. She made sure to retaliate only after they insulted her appearance or scoffed at her knowledge. Jin had looked impressed by her knowledge. Happy, even, and he'd willingly sat down with her amongst the mass of scrolls as they got to work. Now they were sitting shoulder to shoulder. He smelled of earth and the harvest to her. The memory of the Jin in the mud pit warred with her memory of him slaying the wicked blade. He was surprisingly good company. He seemed to trust her judgment.
Maybe he isn't like those other cultivators.
I yawned and stretched. It was starting to get dark out. Today had been a bust so far. Nothing in the scrolls looked even remotely like what I had, and we had gone through most of the scrolls on herbs. Come on, Maymay, we'll look again tomorrow.
I've got some stuff to do in the morning first, though. Gotta sell my furs and pick up some more supplies. Mei Mei yawned, too. She seemed annoyed that we hadn't found anything. We started putting the scrolls away, but I stopped when something caught my eye. A scroll Zhou had read before. Contemplations of the Flame Bud, it was titled. It was a tale of two men. They each find a pearlescent flame bud. It had taken 1,000 years for the flower to bloom, gather its power for the sole act of reproducing, and spread its pollen on etheric currents. One of the men, upon finding the flower, is struck with its beauty. He contemplates the flower and the way it delicately draws in energy. He considers the way its seed disperses on the currents of the world, traveling far and wide to find a partner. He observed the cycle of its life, and when it finally withered and began storing energy to make its seeds, he thanked the flower for its wondrous life and left, gaining little from the encounter. The other man, upon finding this flower, cackles with joy. He tears it out of the ground, root and all. He shoves it into a spirit furnace and burns away everything of the flower he deems superfluous, concentrating a sole aspect of its essence. He then makes a pill out of it to consume, greedily devouring its essence to slightly improve his resistance to fire. Obviously, this isn't the way it was really told. It had lots more flowery language. And to cultivators, the moral of the story was basically, yeah, snort that magic flame flower. The other guy is dumb and weak. Zhou had agreed with that particular interpretation. My only thought after remembering the story was, maybe all those contemplation guys actually ascend while you're all stuck down here. I shook my head and finished putting away the scrolls. Mei Mei returned the key to the archivist, and we wandered back through the pleasant night to the inn together, just as her father was about to go out. A massive, shit-eating grin spread across his face when he saw the two of us enter together. "Did you two have a good day together?" he questioned in a leading tone, loud enough for the rest of the people of their village that were there to hear. They were all sitting together at a table, and when Hongxian raised his voice, it went dead silent. Mei Mei flushed crimson, and the two guys, Gozhen and Yunzhen, immediately started asking how her day was.